peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today happens to be that from James chapter 2, just read from our lectern. Over the past 2 weeks, we hosted CITI here on campus. And during that time, our students have had many opportunities to grow in their knowledge of Scripture, understanding of worship, liturgy, and hymn. And all of this with much gratitude to our seminary professors and to our CITI instructors. Our students have also struggled. They struggled with learning how new vocab and translating Scripture readings, hymns, prayers, and sermons. We've also provided opportunities for them to become more familiar with the culture. And as hearing people, well, you know, we tend to take sound for granted. However, a person who is deaf understands sound a little bit differently through different senses, such as sight and touch. Well, learning to be a church interpreter does take a lot of dedication, many hours of practice with sign and sentence structure, as the Greek or Hebrew. It is also very helpful to have opportunities to use the language and the developed skills to become proficient. Now, I remember when I studied deaf ministry here under Dr. George Krause, part of our program included the writing and signing of a sermon to be delivered at St. John's Lutheran Deaf Church here in town. Well, after spending many hours of preparing and studying and writing, well, I took my turn preaching. And after I finished, I went back to the pew and sat down with my family. During the offering, I asked my wife what she thought. And her response was, well, I don't know much about science. I think it's the first time that you've ever talked where it made sense to use your hands. Well, I guess some things are more quite obvious and just can't go unnoticed. You see, faith is also obvious and quite noticeable. It does stand out for all to see. It shows itself in its expressions of care, in its deeds of love, in its works of affection. You know, these actions would explain why James writes, as he does in our text this morning, that faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, before we scream ouch from the Bible law, we need to understand the context in which James is writing. The people to whom he is dealing with were young and rather obvious impacted faith. A superficial kind of Christianity. They were a people who were being told that they could have faith in Christ that need not impact their way of life, what they would do or how they would live. Many people believe that James' life is completely contrary to that of Paul, as he writes in Ephesians chapter 2, where he says, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not does not disagree all at all. But he would just go on to add that such a saving faith gives itself away. It can't help it. Saving faith can't sit still or be ignored. It must do what is good by its own nature, rather than sit by. Martin Luther expressed what saving faith truly is in his preface to the Romans, where he writes, "Oh, it is a living, active, energetic, mighty thing, this faith, so that it is impossible that it should not work what is good without information. It does not even ask whether good works are done, but before one asks, it has done them, and is ever doing. But he who does not do such works is a man without faith. Works cannot and will not save. Saving faith, however, will always bear witness of itself and give evidence of its connection with Christ, in the same way that a fruit tree gives evidence of itself by bearing its fruits. Christ's love compels us. His love compels us to live the gospel by serving each other. Christ's love and inspiration by the Holy Spirit compel James to write this epistle. Christ's love compelled the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel and through inspiration to write each of his epistles. It is Christ's love that compels these CIP students to be here, to learn, and to grow. It compels our new semblance who struggle in that Greek class to be here. It's Christ's love that compels our semblance, threes, and fours to return. It compels our professors and all of the seminary staff. Our simple nature, it does not want us to be compelled by the gospel at all, but would rather that we feel overwhelmed by the law. The love of Christ, from the cross and the grave, compels us to share his life-saving gospel in and through our lives. That is faith. That is mercy. That faith and mercy acts with deeds of love. It acts as we are compelled by the loving faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ because of Christ himself. Because of him, he is our source. He's our source of life. He is our vine, and we are the branches. He is our source of nourishment, our source of life, our source of living, and our source of fruitfulness. You know, as Christians living in and under the gospel, we know there are many opportunities for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, each day of our life, God's loving, saving gospel is revealed to us, given to us for salvation, and given to us that we may share and show to each other. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.